Imagine what God will do through you. You believe that today? Come on, help me welcome our campuses that are joining with us today, all of our different locations, Facebook Live, around the world. We're glad you're there today. This past week I was out, and our campus pastors hit it out of the park at every location. So come on, let's give our campus pastors a hand. Pastor Aaron here preached this past week, did a great job. And notice in the house this morning, Pastor Stephen and Jennifer, they're hiding, but I see them. They're visiting today. We love you guys. We're excited about Murfreesboro and the Avenue Church and what God's going to be doing through you. So glad you're in the house today. Hey, listen, we're in 21 days of prayer for the harvest and believing for great things. And as I begin this series on Imagine, pray big. Pray big, believe big, and let's see big as we continue to move into everything that God has for us. If you don't have one of these cards, they're available at every location, so get one of those. It helps you to pray through this. And Love and Truth Church is all about changing lives to change our world, and we do that through three things. We do that through encouraging every person. We believe that Sunday is about encouraging you, so we want you to leave today uplifted, encouraged, making some life change decisions today. We want to help you engage with your purpose, because we know that when you find your purpose, that you find your place, and when you find your place, you live life with passion. That's what our Next Steps classes are about. That's what many things that we do in this local house are about. So we'd love to get you engaged in your purpose. And lastly, we want you to encounter His presence, because we know that when you get in the presence of God, He changes everything about your life. So we're believing today for great things to happen in your life. Listen, the setting of this passage of Scripture today is in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, and it's going to be actually, this entire series is going to be based on Ephesians chapter 3. This is about an 8 or 10 week series that we're going to be in together. And so I want us to read this passage together at all of our locations, if you would join with us as well. Would you just read this with me? Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or... Oh, come on, say that word higher. Come on, go again. Come on, a little bit more. Imagine, right? And then it goes on and says, according to His power that is at work within us. So we are believing, we are imagining, we're going to see things that we have never seen according to the power that is at work within us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You today, even as we enter this series, that we are going to begin to see powerful things happen. And so we ask You today, let us take the limits off of our vision today. Let us believe You for crazy things. Let us believe You for things that are so great that if You don't show up, we're going to look foolish. But if You show up, You're going to get glory, and the kingdom of God is going to advance. And so we thank You for that today, and we believe for great things to happen in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, imagine that you see every challenge as an opportunity for success. Imagine that you are changing your history by living out your destiny. Imagine with God's power what you can accomplish in your life and through your life. Imagine a day what sowing seeds today so that you can reap in abundance tomorrow. Imagine facing every challenge with the assurance of God's power that He's with you. Now, here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about opportunity. And I want us to go into the Scripture in the book of Mark, the 6th chapter. And I want to share with you a story that's very familiar to all of us that shows us how God takes those challenges. But let me ask this. How many of you have ever faced a great challenge? Would you hold your hand up? I think that's probably all of us, right? I mean, at some point, at some time, we've had something that comes about, something great, something that at times looks like it's going to overwhelm us and take us over. The book of Mark, the 6th chapter, is where we're going to be. And I'm going to begin in the 34th verse. It's the story that most of you are familiar with. It's called, in Scripture, a little paraphrase above there says, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Actually, it should say Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus.
plus, because it said there were 5,000 men and doesn't count the women and children. And so this is a story that's familiar, but hopefully today I can help you to see some things in it you haven't seen before. Verse 34, beginning there, says this: when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Everybody say many things. Jesus taught all day long. You think I preach long? Some of you say, well, it feels like all day. All right, stop it. All right, verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. Now, listen to the disciples. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. In other words, you preached way too long. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Now, here's what I want to show you today. Big challenges equal big opportunities. Big problems equal big opportunities. Big crowds equal big opportunities. Big whatever. The thing that is out there and in our lives, in every one of us faces, here's what I want to say to you. The bigger the challenge, the greater the victory. The bigger the thing that you are up against, that thing that seems so insurmountable, is the exact thing that God is going to be able to use in your life to launch you into a place that you have never been before. And so what we've got to do is that we've got to be a little bit better than the disciples are. I mean, the disciples look at this crowd, and they see all these hungry people, and they've been there all day long, and there's not a KFC, there's not a McDonald's, there is not a Chick-fil-A in sight. It's Sunday anyway, so it's closed. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing around. There's no place to go to buy food, and so they come to Jesus, and watch what they say. Now listen, here's the deal. They are standing with the creator of the universe. I mean, think about how often we miss that. The Bible says, if God's for you, who can be against you, right? Who can be against you if God's on your side? And yet, they are with the creator of the universe, and instead of them saying something, I don't know, something cool, something neat, like, hey, Jesus, what are you gonna do? What they say is, hey, Jesus, get rid of these people. I want them out of here. Let's get them gone. Can we just send them out? If we don't get rid of them, they're going to start passing out. And then what are we going to do? And that's the way a lot of times we are in our lives. We face the situation. Maybe the job turns sideways, or maybe the marriage gets in a little difficulty, or maybe the finances aren't there, or spiritually we're up against something. And what we do in that moment is all we can do is just, come on, God, just get it out of my face. Get it gone. Here's what I want to say to you. First of all, don't overreact. Don't overreact. Just because there's a challenge, just because there's a moment of difficulty, I heard this years ago and it bears repeating, and that is, don't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation, right? Another thing is, don't put a period where God puts a comma. A lot of times in our lives, we think we're at the end, and God says, no, there's more to the sentence. There's more to the chapter. There's more to what I want to do in your life. But we're like this, Lord, just get them out of here. Go, be gone. Don't overreact. The second thing I want you to understand about challenges is this: accept challenges as part of life. I got a prayer card a while back, and it said, please pray for me that I will not have any problems or any stress in my life. And I just said no, because that's an anti-biblical prayer. Now, we would all like that. We'd all like that. Let's get all right. But the Bible says, Jesus said it this way: in this world, you will have challenges. You will have trouble. The King James Version says you will have tribulation. But he goes on to say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I've got to accept the difficulty. I've got to accept the challenges in the moment so that I understand what it is that God is going to do from this point on. Look in verse 37, because it's interesting what Jesus does. I love this. Jesus looks at him and he says, but Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. I mean, they came with a problem, and Jesus said, no, 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 you're not going to put that on me. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, Lord, 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 oh God. Come on, you know you've prayed those prayers. I mean, you get real spiritual. Oh God. I mean, you put about 8 syllables in God. That would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much money? Is what they're saying. I give a little liberty here. That much on bread and give it to them to eat. See, here's the deal. When you and I face big problems, big challenges, big difficulties, we see those challenges either with faith or fear. And it's exactly, I see people go through the exact same problems, and I watch some of them continue to move, continue to grow, continue to become more and more what God wants in their lives, and I see other people that it wipes out. Why? Because one person sees the challenge as an opportunity from God to see what God's going to do, and other people see it through eyes of fear. See, Hebrews 11:1, a translation says this, that faith is being certain of what we do not see. Faith is being certain of what do I know and I see? I don't see that God is with me in this moment, but the scripture says that he's on my side, okay? And so if he's on my side, then here's what I know. If God's for me, who can be against me? If God's on my side, if God is there where I'm at, then I am going to be able to be an overcomer in the moment I may be facing something, but I'm looking with eyes that see the victory. All right? Now, here's as I got to think about that, here's the same thing. That's how eyes of faith works. Fear operates the same way. I need some water. I got a bottle of water. This is what going to the Philippines do to you. All right? Fear operates the same exact way. My faith sees the future with God in it. Fear sees only what I can do. Faith says God's going to show up. Fear says the enemy is going to work. We got water coming from everywhere. And you should never drink water in front of people, because now everybody wants a drink. But you can't have this one. This was mine, all right? Now, I've got to come to that moment. In fact, let's just use this. I can freak out right now and say, oh, my Lord, I'm not going to be able to finish the sermon. It's going to be horrible. And my career's over. I'm going to get fired this week. All right, that's fear. That's fear operating. And here's what fear is. Fear is seeing the future in a negative perspective. Fear is looking to tomorrow and believing it's never going to be better. Instead of understanding that if God's on our side, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So I've got to understand that, and I've got to believe that. It's all about how you and I see the challenge of what it is that we're up against. And if we see it with faith, we'll overcome. If we see it with fear, we'll be destroyed. Third thing is found in verse 38. Jesus asked him a question. He says, how many loaves do you have? And they said, Lord, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they go through this whole scenario there and back up, verse 38, we went ahead there, guys. Verse 38, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see, and when they found out, they said 5, and somebody had some fish. We got 5 and 2 fish. So here's the deal. You've got to determine what you have, all right? I've got to know what I have to be able to defeat what it is I'm up against. Now, I know what a lot of people will say. Well, Pastor, God's on my side. And he is. But you still need, the first word there is you still need to investigate. You still need to find out what you've got. All right? Because if you don't, then you'll do that crazy stuff. You know what I'm talking about? There are some of you, I'm sure somewhere, not here, not any location, but somebody, there's a Christian somewhere who has written what I call a faith check. A faith check. Now, not a, you millennials don't even know what a check is. All right, it's this paper thing that you can write on, but you got to have money in the bank, millennials, to pull it out. All right, and you know good and well that your electric bill is $329, and you know you don't have $329 in the bank. But what you do is you go ahead and write that check and say, I just believe. I believe the Lord's going to cover. The Lord's not going to cover that. The Lord's not going to cover it. Cut it out. Why is the Lord not going to cover it? Because you don't have a budget. Uh-oh. You live way beyond your means. You spend more money than you take in. God is not honor bound to cover our stupidity. Uh-oh. Some of you got so much plastic in your purse and in your wallet, you didn't know where I was going with that, did you? All right? So some of you need plastic surgery. Now, what I mean by, I'm not talking about the way you look, all right? Okay, I promise, I'm not talking about the way you look. Some of you need to go home and get your scissors out and cut up all those credit cards. All right? You've got to investigate. You've got to find out what your resources are first. Secondly, you've got to invite. Now, what I mean by you've got to invite others to join in. The disciples did not have the supply. A little boy had the supply, but he had to be invited into the party. See, here's what I would say to some of us today. Some of us today are facing some insurmountable difficulties. We're facing some challenges. There are some things that we are up against that seemingly are about to destroy us. But I'm telling you, if you'll investigate and find out what it is that you have and then begin to imagine, that's why I like you to wear these bracelets over the next few weeks. Begin to imagine what God can do and then invite other people in. There's somebody in your circle of influence that is able to help you to overcome what it is that you are up against in this moment. But you've got to be willing to go out of yourself to see it come and to see it happen. Here's what I will tell you. I believe with all my heart that every dream and every vision that God gives us is so big we cannot do it by ourselves. I just have found through the years, when I first started pastoring, it was kind of the mindset then, and I know that was when Methuselah was still walking on the earth, but when I began pastoring, the mindset was the pastor, the man of God, did it all. And I found out in about, I don't know, about the first 30 minutes, I found out I was only good at about one thing, maybe two on a really good day. I had to have a bunch of people come alongside of me. If I hadn't had a bunch of people in Adamsville in those years who were willing to pick up the slack and do things, it'd been a mess. I mean, it was a mess anyway, but it would have been a real mess, you know, on certain days. And so what we have to understand is that we've got to invite other people on the journey because God's going to use others to bring the resources that you need to fulfill the vision that you have for your life. Verse 39 says that Jesus directed them to have them all sit down in groups on the grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And it says, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Now here's what you've got to understand. When you face challenges, when you face difficulties, you've got to face it God's way. And God's way is not our way. Because I'm like the disciples. I don't know if anybody else will admit this. I'm like the disciples. Get rid of them. Send them away. They're getting on my nerves. Get them gone, Jesus. Right? Come on. I don't, Lord, half a year's wages? You mean you want me to get my money? To feed all these people one time and not a, you know, half of them won't even say thank you. But God's way is different. There are three things that I see here in this passage. The first thing is what I would just refer to as preparation. God had them all to sit down. And here's what I've learned through the years is that when God is getting ready to do something great, he first of all puts you into a place where you can't do anything. Okay, don't miss it. Because if you could do it, then you'd take the credit for it. So he puts you in an environment and he says, sit down right over there. Now, what I would say is that a lot of us say, but Lord, I'm more comfortable over here. I want to go over there. And so he said, sit down, and we move over there. Now, the problem with that is this. It's not that God doesn't know where we are. He knows. But here's the deal. God told you to sit down there. So your provision is not going to be there. Your provision is going to be here. But could it be that the reason so often that we don't have the provision that we need in the moment is because we're out of place? We have decided, I don't like sitting there. It's not as nice. It's not as comfortable. There's a much more cushy place over there, and I just like it better over there anyway, and I like the kind of people that are over there, and I don't really care for the... Sorry. I don't really care. I love you. That's just some of them, all right? I don't really care for those people right there. The Lord didn't ask you your opinion. The Lord doesn't ask you what you want. The Lord says to you, sit down. I mean, you got 15,000 people moving around. You got to get them down. You got to get them in. I mean, I know what it's like, you know, on a Sunday morning with, you know, 1,000 people, how many people are making bathroom breaks at any given moment. I can't imagine 15,000 plus people. How many of them going, I'm out? I mean, and so Jesus said, sit them down, get them prepared. Because if I don't get in the place, I can't receive the grace. Because the grace is the provision. But I miss it because I want to do my own thing. And Jesus said, not concerned about your own thing. I'm concerned about you being where I told you to be. I'll go one step further. In the kingdom of God, God has places, God has local congregations that he wants you to attach yourself to. And when you choose to remove yourself from the local place that God has prepared for you and to go somewhere else without the hand of God on you, then why do you freak out and wonder why your life, I'll clean it up, is not as blessed as you want it to be? Could it be that you chose to go to the wrong place? Because there is provision in the house. There is sustenance in the house. There is what you need in the house, but you got to get in your place to see it come to pass. So preparation. Secondly is cooperation. I got to give away what I have. Now, that's not my way. That's God's way. My way is to hang on to it. My way is to say, mine. Right? I mean, my way is to say, this is mine. And yet what we see is that we see we're dealing with two kingdom dynamics here. The Word of God says that Satan, y'all know who that is, right? The devil, Lucifer, you know, that one you don't want to deal with. The Bible says Satan is the god of this world, of this system. Satan. Now, John 10:10 tells us what the thief does. The thief, Satan, comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. So, as long as whatever it is I have is set aside in this kingdom, it's going to be taken from. But when I put it in God's hand, it transfers kingdom. When it's in my hands, it's a little boy's lunch. When it gets in God's hands, it'll feed 15,000 plus people. When it's in my hands, I'll eat it and there won't be anything left. When it gets in God's hands, we'll all eat, we'll all be satisfied, and there'll be 12 baskets full left over. See, that's why, and hang on, that's why tithing is so needful. Don't freak out. Listen, tithing is about transferring kingdoms. Tithing is not about money. Tithing is saying, wait a minute, all my stuff is in the wrong kingdom. I got paid out of the wrong kingdom. It's the system of the wrong kingdom, and I don't want to dwell in the wrong kingdom. And I know what you say, Pastor, I can't live on 100%. The reason you can't live on 100% is because it's in the kingdom of lack. It's in the kingdom of destruction. It's in the kingdom that comes to kill, to steal, destroy. If you will take the tithe, the first fruits, and you will set it aside and give it to God. The Bible says, Hebrews, New Testament, says here on earth, tithe is received, but it's received unto God in heaven. So when I bring the tithe, I now transfer myself out of the kingdom of destruction, and I transfer all of my stuff into the kingdom of the God who is more than enough, who is El Shaddai, who is able to give me exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. That's why 90% will go much further than 100%, because I just swap kingdoms with it. When I understand that, it's no longer an issue, do I pay my tithe? That's not even a struggle. That's saying, yes, I can't wait. Let that be the first thing that I do, because I want to transfer everything into His kingdom. See, that cooperation of saying, God, here's what I've got, and I release it to you, brings the benefit and the blessing into my life. The third word there is participation. Participation. He gave it to the disciples after he blessed it, and he said, give it to the people. Now, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting how he did this. I think he breaks it apart, the little fish and the little, you know, saltine crackers, I call them, sardines and saltines. Again, it's not this huge, you know, barley loaves and, you know, these 20-pound fish he's got there. It's little bitty boy's lunch. And so he gives it to the Apostle Peter and Andrew and all of them that are there, and he says, go feed the people. You kidding me? Really? Go feed. Because nothing has changed at this point. It's still 5 loaves, 2 fish. Okay, and for all of you who have great faith, even it is a giant loaf of bread, there's 15,000 people. You want me to do what? You want me to feed all those people? Yeah. Divided. So I got them divided. They're in 50s and 100s. And you take this group, you take that group. And he sends them through the crowd. Now, The people on the front end of the lunch line are not going to get much. Because I'm looking out there and going, these people are going to kill me. Right? Because I don't have enough. And then, you know, I'm on. Okay, here's what you get a little pinch right here. God bless you. Hope you're satisfied. It'll be really good, you know. Jesus said feed you, so here you go. Looks back down and, oh, the same size. So he gets a little braver. Next person gets a little bit more. Looks back down, same size. Before long, it's like Lambert's. With throwing rolls. Go long. What? Because at that moment, something happens. See, here's what I found out. The moment you get with God and he starts doing those miracles, you start getting crazy. And you start cooperating and participating at a level that some people do not understand, but it doesn't matter because you're not operating in their system. You're operating in God's system, and you're just giving away stuff, and the more you give it away, the more it comes back. In fact, so much comes back that at the end, they got 12 baskets full out of a little boy's lunch, and the Bible says that everybody had eaten. In fact, verse 42 through 44 said they all ate, and I love this verse, and it says, and they were satisfied. See, here's what I say. Seized opportunity blesses all. When you seize the opportunity, it doesn't just bless you, it's going to bless everybody that's around you, okay? And so what you have to understand is that the Bible says that the people were satisfied. The disciples exercised their faith, and here's what happens. I can remember through the years as Sherry and I have seen God do things, and I can remember years ago after we first got married that there were some things that God asked us to do. That I can remember one time writing a $150 check. And it was like, that was everything we had in the bank. And we were in Louisiana at a conference, and I felt the Lord say, write $150. I said, how much money we got in the bank? She said, $150. I said, is the gas tank full? All right? Because we weren't, at that point, we didn't have credit cards. We probably couldn't have got credit cards, all right? And she said, yeah. I said, okay, write a check for $150. That was the biggest $150 check I'd ever written in my life. That stretched my faith. It was, some of you look at me, 150. It was stupid how much it stretched my faith. But I remember driving up on Newell Road in Adamsville, Tennessee, and opening the mailbox, and in the mail as we drove in that day was a check that was much more than $150. And what happened was God exercised our faith. And when we exercised, we got stronger. And the next thing he asked us to do was more, but it exercised us. And we got stronger. And now he asks us to do stuff that to a lot of people is crazy the other way, but to us it's like no big deal because we know what he's done. And lastly, Jesus is glorified. Jesus is glorified. See, here's what I want to say to you. In your life, in the fulfillment of the challenges that come your way, the greatest thing that any of us can do is bring glory to God. The word of the Lord lets us know that Jesus came to this earth, and the one purpose that Jesus came to this earth was so that you and I could be saved. And for those of you who are listening to me today and that you're not 100% sure about your walk with God, you say, this sermon wasn't about salvation. Oh, yes, it was. Because the greatest challenge that you're facing today is the challenge of where you're going to spend eternity. And the great thing about that is that you've got the opportunity today to change your destiny by asking Jesus to come into your life. See, Jesus looked upon our life. He looked upon your life and my life, and he said, that's a challenge. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so Jesus knew that each and every one of us were guilty of sin. And so he came to this earth to pay the price so that you and I could bring him glory. And so today, if you don't know him, the greatest thing you can do before you leave today is ask him into your life. There are others of you today that you have a relationship with Jesus, but right now you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling spiritually today. Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe it's your marriage today that's struggling. And I want to say to you, if your marriage is struggling today, don't give in to what the enemy wants for your marriage. Don't give up on your marriage. Believe that God has a purpose for it. Believe that God wants to bring glory in the midst of this challenge. Imagine today what would happen if each of us would seize the moment of our lives. What would happen if you today would say, I'm facing this moment, I'm facing this challenge, I'm facing this difficulty, but today I choose, with God's help, not to run, not to cower in fear, but today, I'm going to seize it as an opportunity to see what God can do. I've been waiting on my ministry. I've been waiting on my future. I've been waiting on this, that, or the other. But today, I'm going to seize it with everything I've got. And I'm going to make a difference. And the opportunity of my life, I can only imagine what God will do. Amen.